WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Charlottesville's first African-American woman police chief takes office next month. A third man is guilty in the beating death of DeAndre Harris. And in Northeast Harrisonburg, a group is working to restore a house built by former slaves. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 22nd.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Rochelle M. Brackney is Charlottesville's new police chief. She is the first African-American woman in that role for the city. Charlottesville City Council approved Brackney's hiring in its meeting Monday night. She replaces Al Thomas, who retired in December after a report sharply criticized the city's response to the August 12th Unite the Right rally. Brackney, 55, was George Washington University's police chief and is a 30-year veteran of the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police. Her effective start date is June 18th. A third man is guilty in the beating of a black man who was left severely injured during a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Daniel Borden of Ohio, age 19, entered an Alford plea Monday to a charge of malicious wounding in the attack on DeAndre Harris. The plea means Borden does not admit guilt, but acknowledges that prosecutors have enough evidence to convict him. The attack on Harris in a parking garage August 12th by a group of men was captured in photos and videos widely shared online. Borden's plea follows the conviction of two other men. A fourth man is awaiting trial. Erosion caused by heavy rains suspended construction at a Mountain Valley pipeline site south of Roanoke. The Roanoke Times reports the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality is investigating how dams and other measures failed to stop erosion where heavy equipment had removed soil in Franklin County. Nearly 8 inches of mud covered a nearby road. DEQ says the pipeline's concrete barriers had completely disappeared. Pipeline spokesperson Natalie Cox asserted the controls were properly installed and overwhelmed by, quote, unusual circumstances. State regulators and the company say the mud flow did not reach streams. Last month, the 300-mile pipeline was cited for erosion control problems in West Virginia. Construction is suspended until erosion control measures are established. Top Republican lawmakers in Richmond propose a state budget that will expand Medicaid, give state workers raises, and boost the state's rainy day fund. Senator Emmett Hanger of Augusta County and Delegate Chris Jones of Chesapeake, both Republicans, unveiled their plan Monday. Senators will meet today to consider budget options. Senate Republican leaders oppose Medicaid expansion and may block the proposal by Hanger and Jones. The split within the party over Medicaid is causing a lengthy stalemate over the state budget. State government will shut down July 1st if no budget is passed. Housing advocates are working to reduce evictions across Virginia. According to a recent report, 5 of America's top 10 large cities with high eviction rates are in the Commonwealth. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
According to the Eviction Lab, Richmond, Hampton, Newport News, Norfolk, and Chesapeake all have eviction rates higher than 7%.
The only surprise was how surprised everyone else was. This is welcome to my world, or really welcome to the world of my clients.
Marty Wegbright is an attorney with Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. He says the data just makes clear what he calls the crisis hidden in plain view.
There are at least 3 good reasons why Virginia has such a high eviction rate. Poverty is 1, the lack of affordable housing is 2, and Virginia's laws is 3.
Wegbright says the state's landlord-tenant laws are unfavorable and unfair to tenants. The new campaign to reduce evictions will focus on law reform. They'll also study how to increase the supply of affordable housing and how to provide more support to tenants. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Finally today, in Northeast Harrisonburg, a group is working to restore a house built by formerly enslaved people. The house survived urban development in the mid-1900s and will be the site for a museum about the community's history. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz reports.
There is no better place but this home to tell the history of the community. It has survived a lot.
Karen Thomas is the president and founder of the Northeast Neighborhood Association, or NENA, in Harrisonburg. On a recent morning, she's showing me the Dallard Newman House on the corner of Kelly and Myrtle Streets in what used to be called Newtown.
This house, it was built in 1895 by the former slaves from the Riverbank Plantation in Elton. They came, and when they were freed, they settled here, and they built this house. Of course, this was added.
The house, which Thomas said NENA is currently renting but has an agreement to purchase for $46,000, is being rehabilitated to become a museum, library, and the headquarters for the community organization. The house is next door to a church. Together, they are listed in the Virginia Landmarks Register and National Register of Historic Places as the Bethel AME Church and Dallard Newman House Historic District.
The craftsmanship of these men that built this house and the church, you know, it's just something unbelievable. It seems like every day we see something different, you know, that we never noticed before. And back here, I've heard that that door used to be where the ice man would come and leave ice in a bucket back there. He would come through here, and they had like a big old tub here, and that's where they would dump the ice at for him. Oh, that's so interesting.
Thomas grew up in this neighborhood, as did Harrisonburg Mayor Dina Reed, who said she wants this house to be a place where people can come to learn about the history of African Americans.
It's important that you come here once we have it open as a museum, because you can actually, when you're here, you can feel the ancestors in this house.
That history includes urban renewal in the late 1950s and 60s, when the city used eminent domain to tear down some 150 homes in Newtown, including rental properties in disrepair, but also well-cared-for homes owned by residents, to be replaced with businesses and parking lots along Mason Street, Rose's Department Store and the Elizabeth Street parking deck, for examples. For the displaced people, the Harrisonburg Redevelopment and Housing Authority built nearly 100 public housing units. In his 2017 book, Picturing Harrisonburg, Visions of a Shenandoah Valley City Since 1828, James Madison University professor David Aaron Price writes that this urban development came at, quote, extraordinarily high human costs, particularly to the African-American community. Eldon Kurtz is on the NENA Board of Directors.
Yeah, the feelings are very similar to folks up on the mountain that were displaced with the Shenandoah National Park when that came through. People's family homestead. That's, you know, even if the houses weren't the grandest homes, they were people's homes. That was their property. That was their, they were landowners at that point. And so they lost that base of ownership in the community. So that's a tragic part of the history. There's still wounds, deep wounds from that.
From families that have been here for the long haul.
NENA organizer Stephen Thomas said that he's proud of how volunteers in the community, including the carpenters here today, have supported the Dallard Newman House restoration.
The hands that built this home were hands that had previously been held in bondage. And so to see the people come out to support what we're trying to do here, which is to take what we believe is a living memorial and to adequately and appropriately honor it and honor the space, and then, of course, make it available to the community all over again. It's a task that isn't easy, but it's certainly one that is spiritually and culturally fulfilling in very rare ways.
Karen Thomas points to a picture in the 2009 book Keeping Up With Yesterday by Ruth Tolliver.
This is my dad right here. There were big, beautiful homes in this community, and this is how they had their outings that they had in each other's homes.
She's looking to the broader community for ongoing help and funding for the museum through a GoFundMe campaign.
You know, it was terrible how they came through and tore the neighborhood down and just displaced people and destroyed their homes. This is why this house is so important and so significant, to tell the history of all that and the history that came before all that, how the community was built, and tell our history the way it should be told from people that lived it and their ancestors.
She expects the museum and library to open in 2019. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
You can learn more about that story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.